Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred, and it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What were you discussing as you walked along?" And they stopped, looked downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened and taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now our chief priests and the rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. We were hoping he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those women with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer for these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave an impression he was going on further, but they said to him, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them, and as it happened that while they were at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on our way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised from the dead and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." And so, the Gospel of the Lord. Well, the Gospel for today is quite long, and I often remind people, far more interesting than anything I would have to say. But as I would often talk to my seminarians when I work with them, most of what you will ever do as a priest at worship consists in reading, so it's important that you do it well. Nevertheless, after reading the full Gospel, it would be good for me to get right to the point. The conversation leads to a recognition of Jesus by those who we think should have known him in the first place. Once I had an experience like this, and I was thrown for a loss. But it was a good thing. Years ago, when I worked in an ecumenical campus ministry, the congregational minister appeared at my office door, and I was spellbound, both with recognition and confusion at the same time. Art, who was prematurely bald, had put on a woman's blonde wig with curls spilling down to his shoulders. It was a high-quality wig, and I was thunderstruck. I knew and I didn't know, both at the same time. It was a very intense and unforgettable experience for me. Once he spoke, it was all quite evident. But there was a moment of combined shock and recognition, and really this was unique. And then there was confusion and wonderful laughter. For the Christian people, this moment provides a model of how we might discover Christ in another human being, especially our brothers and sisters in the faith who are actively striving to know the Lord. But this Easter, the pattern has been expanded for me, as through Lent I've been reading Pope Francis' letter, The Joy of the Gospel. In ever so many places, Francis exhorts me to reach out to feed the hungry, to journey with all of our brothers and sisters whom we're privileged to encounter. In paragraph 74, he reminds us, the church is called to be at the service of a difficult dialogue. On the one hand, we're people who have the means needed to develop their personal lives, but there are also the many non-citizens, half-citizens, and urban remnants. This last phrase, urban remnants, really strikes me to the heart. how often I've encountered others, and my only intent was to solve a problem, render aid, get on with the next challenge, clear the desk of my responsibilities. Francis calls us to a new level of attention, what he calls a missionary spirit, so that during these Easter days I might recognize Christ in the most improbable of settings. Francis challenges me in this missionary spirit to become actively a Christian in the fullest sense of the word. I need to learn not to limit my experiences and expectations to just the task at hand. The disciples on the road to Emmaus fall in with the convenient traveling companion. I suppose there's safety in numbers on those dangerous roads. But it's only the more intimate experience of sharing a meal, and there that the full impact of his identity is revealed to them. In some way, this encounter with Christ in the depths of my brothers and sisters leads me into the presence of the Father. The needs and challenges of my brothers and sisters open out, and the discovery of the imprint of the Father and Creator of all peoples, right in their very lives and souls. The needs of our time call me to discover not only the remarkable spirit of the love of Jesus, but the surpassing expression of the Father's love, so beautifully found in the hearts and lives of the most diverse peoples throughout the earth. The notion of God as a universal Father is the most necessary discovery for our time. Recently, while I was conducting a day of prayer, I said, "Don't tell me about your sins. Tell me about the things that have broken your heart." Well, our exchange went to a whole new level. But I think that's the kind of thing we have to share with our brothers and sisters as we meet with them. I believe that these Easter days, well, we can imitate such conversations with the most unlikely people if we listen with love and the recognition that the shadow of the Creator is in some way mysteriously present in the life of the person we're listening to. Don't think you can manipulate this by just being nice or a good listener. A person's union with God often comes as a surprise even to the person who is speaking. In these days of the risen Christ, we also entertain the possibility of our own final union with God. The Easter days not only refresh the promise of eternal life, but summon us to enter more freely into the beauty and wonder of God's life right now, and to do so in union with our brothers and sisters who are also seeking to act out that hunger and thirst for holiness that God has implanted in every soul through the generous sweep of creation. Consider this, a conversation with Meister Eckhart. He says, "God told me a joke. My Lord told me a joke, and seeing him laugh has done more for me than all the scripture I will ever read." Well, when I looked up and saw my friend with the wig, the wonderful absurdity seized my whole being. His foolishness, my confusion, was beyond words, and we both shook with laughter. God's laughter is something like that. In these Easter days, consider the laughter of God. Let it come from the depths of your being and raise you up in the delight of your Maker, in the promise of eternal life, a surprising resurrection in each one of us. The delight of Easter is now alive in your heart. Have such a very happy Easter.